I am now joined by Jess Bost, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Alpha Architect, who currently offers 10 ETFs, nearly $4 billion in assets, which I've got to say, that's more than doubled in the past year or so. But Jess has an interesting role here. So she works directly with registered investment advisors to help them with investment management and portfolio construction, and really just educating them on everything from ETFs to running their practice. And she's now on the line with me from Augusta, Georgia. Jess, so great to finally have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining me.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. It's so great to be here. Appreciate the invite. Yeah, let's get rolling.
All right. So did I describe your role with Alpha Architect correctly? Perhaps you can expand on that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, no, you did a great job. A lot of people do ask what that role actually entitles and what I do and what it means. Essentially, when I came into the role at Alpha Architect, I came in with a big understanding of people and a very little understanding of investing. So I've spent a lot of the last couple of years learning from the team on how to invest the best way, on how to analyze investments and how to use ETFs inside a portfolio. And what I've tried to do is just translate that to the everyday advisor that I'm most familiar with, the role that I understand pretty well in this industry and maybe best in this industry is that advisor role. And I'm just trying to take what we know, what the quants know at Alpha Architect, and help communicate that well and create that bridge between really what we do and what they do and try to help the client further.
You mentioned coming in knowing a lot about people, but maybe not quite as much about investing. I would love to hear more about your background. And, you know, you and I have been connected on Twitter or X for quite a while now. So I do feel like I'm fairly familiar with your backstory, but for people unfamiliar with you, just take us through your career path and how you ultimately ended up with Alpha Architect.
Sure. So I started, my major in college was actually psychology. And it wasn't that I couldn't do math, I just didn't like it so much. And I took a psychology class and really just fell in love with the idea that I could understand people better and help them along their paths and lives. And so that kind of translated into several roles in different places until I ended up in a CrossFit gym and found out there that people were coming to a gym, people were coming to fitness with this idea of, I need help getting from where I am to where I want to be. So I have these goals out in front of me and I want to accomplish them. I just don't know how to get there. And so that's where that original passion for starting with someone where they are, helping them get to where they want to be, that's where that started to cultivate and develop, was inside CrossFit and as a personal trainer and coach there. And then that I had a client who's a financial advisor, actually, and that was my transition point over to financial services, was realizing after I went to work for him in the front office and started answering phones, realized, hey, I'm encountering the same kind of human problems here. People are stuck. They want to get somewhere with their finances. They have these goals in front of them of retiring or going on big trips or buying a house, and they can't do that, and they're inviting someone and asking for someone to come help them figure that out.
You mentioned the CrossFit. I have to ask you about the deadlifting and the burpees and everything else I see you post out on Twitter. Has the personal fitness and training, has that always been a passion for you?
It has. I played sports in high school, didn't in college, mostly because I didn't want to make it my whole life. And I was probably on the fringe of actually being a super competitive college athlete. It wasn't something I would have had to have dedicated my entire life and worked really hard for it. So, but I've always enjoyed sports. When I found CrossFit, it was really the first time, though, that as a woman, somebody had put a barbell in my hands and said, this is yours. You can really own this. And so I fell in love with the barbell, the way that I felt like I could be strong. And that was a way to build fitness and a way to build health. And that was a new concept to me. And also has also translated into just this passion for people who may feel like they don't understand a lot about investing, helping them kind of onboard through things that excite them, things that may not have been exposed to before. That all builds into my passion and my conviction about really that building wealth is for anyone, and not for everyone, because you do have to be willing to put the work in and figure some things out for yourself. But anyone can do that, and so that's a lot about my investing and finance philosophy that comes. Is borrowed from the fitness world.
All right, so you are giving me the absolute perfect segue here, because we're going to talk ETFs and model portfolios and really discuss how advisors can use ETFs to simplify and optimize model portfolio construction. Mm-hmm. So you have an overall framework here that you like to use. As I understand, that actually incorporates your personal fitness background as well, which I just love. So, Jess, I'm just going to open this up to you. Take us through your model portfolio framework.
Sure. So I look at this, like I said, coming into this with the concept and mindset that maybe not everybody understands finance, but most people understand fitness. They can kind of use that analogy of fitness to translate over and feel a little more comfortable in a space that otherwise they may not be willing to step into. So this model development approach really starts with a framework and the concepts from fitness, and then I use those to translate over to finance, just to, again, help advisors understand how to really approach this topic that can feel a little intangible. So the first piece of that that I'll start with is, you know, maybe sitting down. One of the first things that you need to look at when you're developing models for your clients or for your practice is, what kind of accounts do I need? And so we're looking at maybe a taxable account versus a tax-deferred account versus a tax-free account. Like, those are the big three accounts that maybe we need to set out to build with our clients. And to me, that looks a little bit and kind of feels a lot like deciding, where are you going to work out? Are you going to work out at home? Are you going to use a public gym? Are you going to be outside because you're a runner? Do you need to have days where you can train inside if you are running, and what are the options that you need there? So just really from a macro standpoint, figuring out where are these assets going to go is a big piece of just getting oriented with your clients and with your portfolios.
Okay, and so once you have the where, what about the what in terms of what you're going to allocate to?
Yeah, you need to know, one, for account minimums, investment minimums. Maybe if you have managed accounts and brokerage accounts, if you are up under a broker-dealer, you need to have an idea of how much do I need to build up in this account before I have access to a managed account. And I look at that similar to, like, how much time do I have to work out each day or each week? So you're kind of looking at this idea of constraints and how can I fill up these buckets, and how does that translate over to what I need to do in order to reach my goals? Because if I have 30 minutes a day and I'm training for a marathon, I'm going to break that up differently versus if I have 2 hours a day. Or maybe that does create some exclusions for me. Maybe I don't have access to a marathon if I only have 30 minutes a day. So you're kind of breaking this up based on the account minimums, investment minimums. You really need to take a look at what the constraints are with your brokerage or your platform, your custodian that you're working with.
And again, what about specifically just on asset class determination?
Yeah. So, like, you know, when you're talking about U.S., ex-U.S., core, satellite, if you want emerging markets exposure, the analogy for me is, what kind of workouts do I enjoy doing? What do I want to do? What do I need to do in order to hit those goals? And so a lot of people, when they're thinking about these allocation, it feels very, again, intangible is a word that I come back to a lot. Like, I don't know how much to put in U.S. versus ex-U.S. And then we hear some questions like that a lot. And really it comes back to some tolerance. Like, what do you talk about? What do you think your clients are liking? What do you think they want to do? What do they need to do? And there's some good guidelines out there. There's maybe not a perfect equation for some of these questions, but it does really, especially if you're looking at incorporating real estate or gold for clients, it does come down a lot of times to matching your offering with their preferences or setting the expectation out on the front end of the conversation of these are some of the things that you can expect to have in the portfolio and then backfilling from there. But really it is a little bit preferential at that point, and that's okay. When we go into the gym, we're going to want to orient our workouts long-term around the things that we like doing. Otherwise, if at some point in time, we're going to hit a wall where we really don't want to be there, really don't want to be doing the things that we're doing, and it doesn't align with our values and our long-term willingness to stay in it. And of course, we know with investing, a big part of that long-term strategy is just being willing to stay in whatever you're invested in.
I want to ask you specifically about ETF selection, but before we do that, anything else you would highlight in terms of just this overall model portfolio framework?
We get a lot of questions about how much should we pay for certain investments, especially when we get to the ETF level, because you're talking about expense ratios built into some of these products. And really that you have to be able to look at it from the perspective of how much should this cost me? If we're looking at fitness routines, some are expensive, some are cheap, and they should align. You shouldn't be paying $175 a month for somebody to give you a 5K workout program, a couch to 5K workout program, when you can get that for free. So figuring out, inside the market how much something should cost really is just about doing a little bit of research to see how does it align with its peers. And then that risk profile and risk exposure, you really want to look at offering different levels of risk, especially when you're looking at building a portfolio for your clients. You're looking at kind of something similar to teaching a fitness class as opposed to personal training in a lot of senses, especially if you're building one big portfolio for your overall firm. And so you want to be able to offer different levels of risk exposure to those clients within that model that you've constructed.
You mentioned expense ratios. Obviously, that gets us down the path towards the ETF selection process. And so once an advisor has defined this broader framework that you've walked through, obviously now comes a part where they have to filter through the 3,400 plus ETFs out there and find the ones that make the most sense. How do you think about that process?
Yeah, so, the idea of selecting ETFs really is about trying to approximate maybe an SMA strategy. So instead of selecting 50 stocks, 50 individual stocks for your portfolio, you're going to look for an ETF that could capture the essence of those 50 stocks and to put that one ETF in your portfolio instead. And so what you're essentially doing with that is you are pulling this lever of time and ease and access and maybe the switch there for the advisor is to be able to access a product, an ETF, if you will, inside their portfolio in a way that eases some of the due diligence that they might have to do individually on those stocks. So the one way to think about that is instead of constructing a deadlift program for yourself where you're going out and looking at all the different ways that you could improve your deadlift, you are finding someone who has created a deadlift program and you choose to purchase their deadlift program and follow that program for a given time period, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 12 weeks, maybe 6 months. And then at the end of that time period, when you have an idea of expected gains, you're going to evaluate, did I gain enough? Did I do enough during this time to justify the cost of hiring that person or buying that program? If I did, then maybe I'm going to continue with their next phase of that or continue to use that same program, reset my maxes, and go back through it again. And so that, to me, the idea of an ETF really is just accessing a broad maybe concept or strategy for performance inside your portfolio that you could do individually. It's just going to take a lot more time and effort and research and intention to continue to construct that individually for yourself versus leaning on the expert and the advice and the construction of someone else's program.
You have my mind running with all of these personal fitness analogies. So I have to ask you, spot Bitcoin ETFs, do you have a good analogy for those on the personal fitness side?
Well, I mean, so spot Bitcoin ETFs are a new product, right? And it's so funny. I knew we were going to go here. of course we're going to go here, Nate. For me, it's like maybe even if you want to step back a few years, the birth of CrossFit. So CrossFit came onto the scene maybe somewhere around 2000, depending on how attuned you were, maybe 2007, 2008, anywhere between that and 2012 before it really hit mainstream. And during that time, people were super skeptical of this program that was emerging as a kind of a one-stop shop for fitness and strength building. And so similar to the kind of the Bitcoin emergence, people are skeptical about whether or not that could be something that could be additive to their portfolio, whether or not that's something that they want to consider as an investment. And, you know, the thing that I think makes it a little easier to understand is, one, if you do not feel like you are on the edge of your fitness, if you're on the edge of your portfolio looking for that next right thing for your portfolio, then maybe Bitcoin is something to sit back and these Bitcoin ETFs are something to sit back and watch a little bit for. There's nothing wrong with that if you aren't ready for the next thing. But if you are on the edge of your portfolio, you are looking for that next right thing, then maybe Bitcoin is something for you to put your toes in the water and experience and figure out. The Bitcoin ETF makes that super accessible because, again, you are relying on someone who has constructed a product for you to fit into the portfolio that could work for you. And you're just going to step in. So it's like adding like maybe one CrossFit class a week instead of changing your entire running program over to a CrossFit program. Maybe you're just going to add one day a week. See how that feels. See how that works for you. If you like it, if you're getting some results, if it's pulling you in, you want to do a little more, add 2 days a week. So there are ways to approach these new ideas if they fit within your framework of something that you might want to experience. There's ways to add those in that are cost beneficial, right? That do not introduce too many risks and still allow you to experience it. And that's one of my favorite things about the Bitcoin ETF is for folks who really weren't sure, they couldn't pull that lever of ease of adding assets or investing in Bitcoin through some of the other institutions and the other products that have been put forth into the market. This ETF, especially if they're already familiar with ETFs, if you're already going to group classes at a Globo gym and now there's a CrossFit class that's being offered, like, you're just going to put your toes in the water there. You're just going to try it out. As long as it fits with, if you're not somebody who's trying to build strength, maybe CrossFit isn't for you. If you're not trying to someone that's trying to have exposure to some of these fringe asset classes, which is what I would put Bitcoin in at the moment. I think we are adopting as a lot more mainstream, but it's still moving in that direction from the fringes. Then maybe it's not right for you if you're not looking for those kinds of additional pieces to your portfolio. And again, as if you're an advisor and you are considering that for your clients, ETFs one are a lot easier to add to the portfolio offerings, and they're also something that it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have it in there since it's an ETF. If it's not something that your clients are looking for, doesn't fit the framework, doesn't fit the ideology of what you've been explaining to your clients all along that you are doing, it's okay not to do it if what you're doing is already working for your clients' goals and for the outcomes that you're looking for.
Jess, we only have about 2 minutes left here. Before I let you go, in your experience working with advisors on model portfolio construction, I'm curious, where do you typically see the biggest mistakes made? And obviously, there's no perfect solution out there. I think we all know that. But from your perspective, what's maybe the biggest issue or the biggest two issues you come across? And this can be on either the broader portfolio framework or the ETF selection process itself. You know, what's sort of like the poor form when you're deadlifting or, I don't know, not running heel to toe mistakes that you see out there?
Yeah, I would say two main ones. One is going to be the due diligence time that you're investing in your portfolio. I think a lot of people will skip some of the homework that really does need to be done if they are building a stock strategy and go straight to maybe some of the shortcuts, expense ratios, price earnings ratios, valuation techniques, some of these things that really do require a significant amount of time. They'll shortcut them in order to put a new hot idea into their portfolio and really disalign with their idea of a long-term investment strategy. That's one big one. And again, I think ETFs are a good solution for that because you can evaluate the ETF company or, you know, the ETF provider as opposed to, or the ETF concept as opposed to analyzing individual stocks. And so that can create some shortcut for you there in a meaningful way, in a way that could be additive to your portfolio. And then the other thing that I see is what we talk about a lot of times is closet indexing. So people that are maybe including a strategy that they think is doing something other than just the basic S&P 500 index ETF, and they think that it's maybe an active strategy that's adding something extra. But when you look underneath the hood, you realize really it's just mimicking or it's highly correlated with S&P 500. And to me, you know, that's like going to paying $150, $200, like I said, for a month for this Couch to 5K program that you could just go online and get for free. And it's probably, without some additional coaching, it's probably not going to be meaningfully any different. I do see a lot of advisors that are trying, and they're doing it in good faith. They're trying to incorporate these new ideas, but really they're just not extending the breadth of the portfolio through the cost that they're passing along ultimately to their clients.
Well, Jess, we're going to have to leave it there. This was fun. I like the unique viewpoint and working in the personal fitness side. Again, very interesting. And by the way, I love seeing all of the success that you and the Alpha Architect team are having. Just love seeing that. So keep up the good work. And thank you for joining me this week.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Nate.
That was Jess Bost, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Alpha Architect.